With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
How you day? Today's episode is going to be the first part of two episodes. We are talking to a very, very special young lady who is doing amazing things in the developmental world. And we're going to be grappling with many things that I feel affect a lot of us that we don't get to talk about in the larger, you know, hemisphere of media or just in the world. So we'll be talking about what it means to be a third culture kid, have multiple identities, and how that plays into the way we see the world. Today's guest, as you find out, is well-traveled, but also had many, many lifetimes before she was an adult. So I hope you enjoy the narrative style of the podcast. I will be going in and out of the episode to explain some concepts and to also elaborate on my thoughts and certain things that she said. Okay, here we go.
Bonjour à tous. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of As Told by Nomads. And today's guest is one of my good friends. Her name is Fleur Maricourt. She is a third culture kid, a humanist, and an empath, a professional of Belgian Senegalese citizenship. We're going to talk about that. She overwent the majority of her formative years in Niger and went on to pursue a bachelor in sociology in Brussels and a master's in Monaco. During her studies, Fleur rapidly developed an interest for youth leadership, as well as North-South relationships. We're gonna definitely dive into that. There are many things we'll be diving into with terminology today. And she has become involved in youth associations such as AIE, SEC, and the African, Caribbean, and Pacific Youth Professionals Network, as well as someone who has worked with Belgian development organizations, UNFAO, Swiss leading child relief organizations, Terre des Hommes, Lausanne. And she's passionate about community capacity development and driven by our impact to increase our ability to connect effectively across cultures, which is my favorite thing in the world. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Tayo.
Wow. So I don't know if we should do this interview in French or if you do it in English. So
We can mix.
Oh, we can mix some problems. But for those that don't know, Flora and I, we met on Instagram, right? That was how we met. Yeah.
I mean, you met me on Instagram. I met you on the show.
Right. I was, ladies and gentlemen, I was on a show called The African Millennials. And it's basically a bunch of Africans in diaspora talking about topics that relate to us as millennials. And I guess you were watching me in Belgium?
I was in Switzerland.
Switzerland at the time. Oh. And and then we started connecting. And one of the things that we found that we had in common was the fact that we're both third culture kids. Now, for those listening, third culture kids refers to anyone that spent the formative lives, you know, formative periods of their lives outside of their parents' cultures. You know, so for me, 5 countries, 4 continents. Fleur is of Senegalese and Belgian descent. She lives in Switzerland. For the most part, when she's not traveling all over the world. But I'll let you tell the story. How did you grow up?
How did I grow up? So I was born in Senegal. I should also talk about my parents because everything is linked to the parents. Mm. So my mom is also mixed. Her dad was from Benin. He was Beninese. And her mom is Cambodian Senegalese. My dad is Belgian. He's from Flanders. And so I was born in Senegal. My dad lived in Gabon, I don't know how to say it in English. So I immediately moved to Gabon. My sister was born there. And then we moved back with my mom to Senegal because my dad moved to the Central Republic of Africa, which was not the most child-friendly country. So we spent a few years in Senegal, and then my dad moved to Niger in 1998. And that's where I've lived for 11 years. So I grew up in Niger, in the capital city of Niamey. Obviously, when you live in West Africa, you travel a lot as well. So we traveled a lot, and also we every summer we went to Belgium to see the side of my dad's family. So that's why when I finished high school, I decided that I wanted to, to get to know my dad's culture, his language, because I just had the passport, but I didn't know what it meant. You know, I didn't have any affinities with the culture, with the issues. I couldn't really relate to any other Belgian students that were at school. I went to a French school, so I had more affinities with the French culture. I decided to go to Belgium to learn the language. But eventually I studied in Brussels because it's more, cosmopolitan, multicultural. I felt more at home, but I did study in Flemish. My parents kept on moving a lot, in Africa. So I was, every year I was always, between Africa and Belgium.
I want to pause you to really elaborate on what a third culture kid is. Many times you're going to hear the term third culture kid, maybe from me throughout my podcast or maybe from her, but a third culture kid or a TCK is any child or person who has spent a considerable part of their lives, or, their developmental lives outside of their parents' cultures. And as you can see, she was constantly moving due to her parents' jobs. And during the formative periods of her lives, you can see that she constantly was shifting to different environments, and a lot of that obviously leads to what you call code switching, where you act a certain way in different environments so you can fit in. The term was initially introduced by Ruth Hill Seam, and it really came to consciousness because she was studying mobility and mobility of parents, especially kids of diplomats, government officials, military, or anyone whose profession involves people spending a lot of time outside of their parents' cultures or their natural cultures. So, as you can see, anyone listening to the podcast, some of you might know a third culture kid. Some of you might identify as a third culture kid. I hope as you're reflecting on these experiences, you understand how identity plays a big role into how we see the world. Now, some of you might know TCKs, some of you might be TCKs, but don't underestimate this early parts of your life because they often lead to clues as to why you want to do what you want to do, or why you have a certain drive or passion for things that you have today. Now, Fleur is someone who identifies as a Métis, so she's of mixed heritage, and she's got several cultures going on. Her mom is also mixed, and that played a role into how she saw herself and how she saw the world, essentially.
I think there's one element that is important is the fact that my mom is mixed herself, and her own mom is mixed as well. Because when, growing up, I had a lot of questions about everything, about the societies I grew up in. I grew up in a Muslim society, in the expat bubble. But at the same time, my mom, she did a lot for my sister and I to also see Africa the way she sees Africa and not the way expats see Africa. So I guess as a mixed person, the identity crisis is actually something that is ongoing, if it makes sense, because you're In my case, I don't only have Senegalese and Belgian, origins. I also have the Beninese one because my mom grew up in Benin. when I go home, like my mom speaks, she speaks Mina, which is one of the dialects. She also speaks for Wolof. When I go to Senegal, I also hear Vietnamese and Cambodian because my grandmother and great-grandmother still speak the language together. And then obviously we have French at home and a bit of Flemish with my dad. So it's, you know, there are many, many things, but I know that my mom was my main, you know, the main person I went to when I had questions, you know, trying to understand why are we here? Why, you know, my mom would say it better than me, but questions like, you know, you see the difference between your own family and others, others, your friends' families, the way they, you know, the way they talk about the locals, the way they talk about their own country back in Europe or in America or whatever. And I know I had a lot of questions. I knew from a very, very young age, actually, when I moved, I think it was clear for me when I moved to Niger, because I left home, my first home, which was in Senegal. I knew I was very different from everyone. I there was absolutely no one I could relate to, no one who was that mixed, no one who was that mixed, actually. No one who was actually growing up outside of their parents' culture. There were, but there were so many experiences and groups that it was difficult to relate. You had the expats, the French, the Belgians, the Germans. They would always be together, you know. So for my sister and I think that we knew from the start that we were very different. So we were always together. We kind of grew up like twins. And now I understand why. It was because there was no one else really to relate. I had all types of friends, European, African, mixed. But it wasn't always easy, you know, I was never in one group. I was always a bit, you know, in between. But I guess maybe there was a crisis when, you know, it's the la crise d'adolescence, when you become a teenager, when all the questions you have growing up become way more, you know, present in your mind, if I can say it like that. Especially when you're thinking about, okay, what's next? What am I going to do after I graduate high school? Where am I going? Why? What do I want to study? Why?
Another thing that you find common with a lot of TCKs is the idea of understanding and grasping different languages as a form to fit in, as a means to follow their curiosities. Here's how Fleur understood different languages.
How many languages do you speak, Fleur?
Every time people ask me that question, I'm like, not that many. I speak French fluently. I speak French, English, Dutch, Spanish. My Spanish is pretty okay. I just need to practice it a lot. And then I understand many languages, even if I don't really speak them. Portuguese, Italian, and a few dialects. Wolof, Mina a little bit. And it comes back when I go to the country, but I cannot really say that I speak. Yeah.
Wow. Wait, so that's like four and three quarters? Yes. Or five and seven eighths?
Yeah.
But it's so interesting because as a third culture kid, a TCK, one of the things some people, not all TCKs, but a lot of TCKs pick up is language nuance. Has language helped you connect? And how did you even learn these languages?
Language is culture. You understand a culture through the language and vice versa. So French is because my parents speak French together. So it's the language you speak at home. And I also went to French schools until high school. So English was, basically we had the DSTV, the DSTV cable at home. You know, it's a South African cable. Because my dad wanted to give us another language besides French, because we were already in a very French environment and TV was also in French, and he wanted us to speak another language. And he actually missed out on Flemish because he didn't really teach us Flemish. So my sister and I, we speak a mix of French and English together because we watch TV in English, and I love languages, so I always make an effort to, you know, to study and to speak more. Spanish is also from school, and since I did my studies around literature, I had more classes than the others, and so I have a good foundation. And then Dutch, I learned Dutch when I moved to Belgium, because I wanted to, you know, to speak that language, as my dad is Flemish. And also because as a Belgian citizen, it's important to speak at least both languages. Well, German, I don't speak it, but it's, you know, it's the same family. But right. It's important to have both languages because you have more, you know, work opportunities. And it goes even further than that. It gives you an understanding, and it opens, you know, different doors to understand your own country, because, you know, in Belgium we have this this mini war between the Francophones and the Flemish speaking, and for me, speaking both languages, it's a huge strength.
Officially, they say in Belgium the three languages are Dutch, French, and German.
Officially, yes, yes. Yes. No, it's true. It's true, because now at school, and it's a law, I think, that was adopted, I don't know how many years ago, that the language that is going to be taught in school in Flanders is going to be Dutch, so that there's a coherence with our neighbors in the Netherlands.
Gotcha.
You know, in reality, it's people actually speak Flemish because you have so many dialects in the different regions. But yeah, so that's how I learned, and then yeah, the other dialects are linked to, you know, my mother, who speaks Mina and Wolof. And I used to live in Senegal before I was 5 years old, I actually spoke Wolof fluently, and I could even sing the national anthem, and I could sing I could dance Mbalax.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
The national dance and everything, but I forgot everything, but it's in your brains. Like every time I go back, it comes back. But I mean, for me now, like speaking, because I speak Dutch, I actually don't speak Flemish because I learned Dutch. Speaking Dutch, I mostly speak Latin languages, and Dutch is a new family. And it's a different way of seeing the world. It's you know, even in the way you the expressions that exist, the words, the sounds, it's a different lens to the world. And I love that because it's so rich, you know, and when you are able to have different, to speak different languages and to have different perspective on the same issue, one issue, it's, I mean, I love that. I love being able to have that. And it allows me also to relate to different types of people. When I went to Monaco, for example, I related easily with the Scandinavians because, you know, the work ethic was, their work ethic was similar to the Flemish one. And obviously I also related to the French because we speak the same language. But because I, you know, I went to university in this culture, it was very surprising to me. I did not expect that. Well, it was easier for me to study with the Germans or the Scandinavians or, you know, the North of Europe.
Language is much more than words. It's much more than complex pronunciations. It's much more than grammar. It actually is a tool for connection. And as you heard, Fleur used that as a way to connect. And in many instances, it was a way to really bond with people that didn't necessarily look like her, but they were able to speak the same language. So don't underestimate the power of using language as a connection tool. I know a lot of listeners are interested in making an impact in the world and changing the world from a global perspective. So think about different ways that you can pay attention to the little things like language to understand how to grow. Another aspect of TCKs is this longing for home, right? Not everyone TCK has this. My personal definition of home is that it's a fluid concept. I identify as Nigerian and I grew up in 5 countries and 4 continents, but home is usually where I am. Essentially, I find that I've been able to adapt quickly because I moved around so much. Other TCKs might have different experiences. The fact that they move around so much could make them want to find a stable environment. And a funny thing happened with Fleur. She was searching for whatever home meant for her. She found parallels with her career and a lot of her past experiences with identity. It's interesting how that happens. On your search for home, you find purpose.
The easiest choice would have been to go to France because I studied literature, French literature, and you know, I had good grades, but I was like, well, France is not my country. So what do we do? Okay, I go to Belgium, but I need help, you know. I'm gonna go there. I don't really have family there, so what do I do? So a lot of questions again. And then I guess it became really, really tough when I moved to Belgium because I have the passport. You know, on paper, I'm Belgian and there's nothing wrong. The only thing was the fact that, you know, at some point they almost, I almost couldn't pass my exams because they realized that I got my diploma in an African country. So they were like, oh, actually, your diploma is African, so you cannot study here. And I was like, you just have to read. It's a French baccalaureate from Niger. That was the only little thing that I had to go through. But it was a very, very tough period because I was a stranger in my own country. In my country of citizenship. So I had a lot to learn. I had to learn the culture through the language through the culture, studying sociology as well. You know, you need to understand the society you live in to be able to understand the courses you follow. It was very intense. I always related to the international students. But we had different lives, you know, we had completely different lives in Belgium. There's this, and it's everywhere the same. You study during the week and then usually students, because they're from there, they go back home, you know, They go to their village or their city in the weekends. And you don't, it's not the same for you. So you stay here during the weekend. For me, it was a lot of studying because I had to catch up, you know, on the language. The Dutch is not an easy language. And I guess I had the crisis at some point where I was like, okay, I've done everything I could. I'm going to get my diploma. I don't feel like I'm fitting in the society. Even the ideas I have in class, it's not diverse enough. I cannot even discuss what I want to discuss with professors, with my peers. I can't. So that's how I decided that I wanted to go to an international university. And I did that, and everything changed for me. I went to do my master's in an international university, you know, to be more into this this environment where I feel most comfortable. Then I went back to Senegal for a while because I had always wanted to go back actually to West Africa. This was the dream in my family. With my sister, we thought, okay, we go to Europe, we study, and then we go back because this is home. But then, you know, life happens. And, you know, when you travel so much, you have this itch to always discover other cultures. And so I ended up in Switzerland. I've been living here for almost a year and a half. And I'm working here in the development and humanitarian sector. So as you introduced me in the beginning, I work for the Swiss leading child relief organization. So I've worked for the program that is protecting children and young migrants worldwide, which was actually very enriching for me because all the topics that we are going to talk about are all linked to migration, identity, inclusion, integration, diversity. I learned a lot, and since it's a child protection organization, I really like the approach, which is very very inclusive. And as a young person as well, I very quickly I felt directly very empowered to, you know, to lead projects and to have a say in everything we did, while being, you know, seen for who I was, for all the different, you know, things that I could bring based on who I am, where I've been, the voice I have as a young person, the fact that I'm a millennial, the fact that I use social media, the fact that I understand the youth, the fact that I have a way of seeing the world that is quite complex and nuanced, you know. There are so many things I can say about that.
Everything changed for her. It's so interesting. Many times when we come across institutions, or we find ourselves in institutions where we are supposed to feel at home, we're supposed to find our tribe, and we feel alienated. You know, whether it's you being a hidden immigrant in your own country, or whether it's a school where you think people are going to think similarly and you find out that they're alienating you or they're not providing what you need. That impetus is usually a clue for you to find somewhere that really accepts you for who you are, or to create the platform for other people like yourself to feel seen, heard, and understood. Everything can change when you identify your pain, as it did for Fleur.
I understood clearly that that's where I thrive. You know, learning from different people, different cultures, you know, creating projects together, learning from each other, you know, creating things based on different perceptions is just something. It's, to me, that's, it makes me feel alive. And And that's what I was able to do during my master's. And then that's how I knew first that I'm actually more comfortable as a foreigner in a country than as a local, local meaning with the citizenship, because I do not really belong anywhere. I do not belong in Belgium. I do not really belong in Senegal. I do not belong in Benin. I definitely don't belong in Cambodia. So I knew, okay, it's fine. I need to live in a different country. And I need to be in an international environment.
Now, just because you find out who you are, just because you figure out what your identity is, doesn't mean that you don't constantly have this crisis going on. You don't constantly have this confusion. And confusion is probably going to be there for many people throughout their lives, but acknowledge it. Acknowledge it. Don't push it away.
The reason I said it's an ongoing crisis is because it's the questions are constantly in your mind and you are constantly looking for answers, because the answers are nowhere to be found. You know, you can ask your parents, but they don't have the same experience as you do. Like, my mom is mixed, her mom is mixed, but they do not have the European part, which is a completely different thing, you know, because growing up in West Africa, especially having a dad who works in the development sector, you have all these relations, all these little things that you see and that are actually a result of colonialism, you know. This is something also that was very, very present throughout my childhood. I could see the how do you say it in English, the inequality, you know. It was very clear. I could see how my parents struggled, you know, in this environment, how my mom struggled when we went to Belgium. And in her case, being, you know, African Asian, it was a bit different, because, well, I think it's mostly for my grandmother that was maybe more similar to my experience, because she was born in Vietnam during the Indochina War, and she was born French because her dad, Senegalese, was fighting for the French army. So again, you're born in Vietnam, you're mixed, you're not supposed to be born because it wasn't really accepted. You speak Asian languages and French, you're French, you're also Senegalese, but you don't really know that culture. All of a sudden, when she turned 13, they left. So she arrived in this new country. She's supposed to belong to this country, but, well, she doesn't know anything. And then she got married to someone from the Beninese army. And then she moved to her husband's country. And she was considered the white wife because she was light skin, I guess. And then she had my mom and her siblings. And then you add my dad, you know, with the European the European side and all the complexities that it brings, you know, this mix of cultures, this the context you're in, that is, you know, a European coming to help to develop projects to improve the lives of people in Africa, and you're in the middle of it as a mixed person. Yeah, it's complex, but you asked the question, how did I live it? Like, it's, I'm still understanding my experience, you know? I'm still in the process of understanding what I went through as a child and now the decisions that inform, how my decisions are informed by my childhood and my past experiences.
How past experiences and childhood can influence you today. This wraps up the first part of our narrative series. In the next episode, you're going to hear how Fleur uses what she does essentially to solve today's problems. And we're going to talk about the bigger picture of things that affect our world today. You know, things like microaggressions, things like inequality, fear, and understanding how to live in nuance. Hope you enjoyed the episode. Until next time, use your difference to make a difference.
You've just been listening to the As Told by Nomads podcast. For more ways to reach out to Tayo and to use your difference to make a difference, head over to www.tayoroxon.com.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.